Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Well, I think I mentioned before that I have a son who graduated from Mizzou. He was a teacher in Columbia at Hickman High School, and now he is what I like to call an indoctrinator up on the south side of Chicago in a public school up there. We don't share the same politics. We kind of stay off that topic, but that's not what this is about. He has told me that he's a rarity because he's a male teacher, and male teachers are disappearing from the landscape. And I found it interesting that Scott Venner wrote about this. I saw something in the Federalist and was relatable because of my son and some of the conversations that we've had. He's the director of the B. Kenneth Simon Center for American Studies at the Heritage Foundation and wrote this piece in the Federalist. Scott, how are you? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
Well, I am well. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm fine, but what you kind of highlighted here, I think, is a pretty serious problem. You kind of run through the numbers here. 30% of elementary teachers were male in 1970. By 2021, the number dips to 11%, and it's not going up, is it?
No, it's been going down. I mean, when you look at an elementary, when you look at schools of education and elementary ed majors within schools of education, you rarely find men. And so I expect the numbers to actually go down.
I don't know that my son's going to make it. He is, you know, overall he will, don't get me wrong, but he's worn out by it, and it's not been a good experience. So I don't know if this takes him, to get a master's and kind of point toward, academia. I have no idea, but I know that there's frustration here. But when it comes to men disappearing from the landscape, why? I mean, there's a variety of reasons, as you kind of indicate, but what's the best take on this? Or is it just an accumulation of a lot of different factors, Scott?
Yeah, I think that, one thing that people often hang it on is the pay of elementary school teachers. But I think that doesn't hold water because people actually make more money adjusted for inflation now teaching elementary ed than they did in 1970. People say that males don't want to go into that line of work, but the numbers suggest that at least a third of the teachers were were men in elementary schools in 1970. And I think stereotypes and things like that were probably stronger in 1970 before the real advent of feminism than they are today. So I don't think stereotypes or pay are the reasons that men haven't entered the profession. I think the nature of the profession is why. That is, the nature of education has fewer standards, has a lot less discipline. And it's just not as a welcoming environment for male psychology as it was in 1970. So men are less attracted to education that doesn't hold people to standards, and they don't enter it.
Yeah, and this really became clear to me. My son graduated from the University of Missouri right in the aftermath of COVID. So the graduation was, the ceremony was basically on video, and we weren't even in the building. But what I remember is seeing everyone go up there and get their diplomas in his area of focus, which was education. And it was like young lady after young lady after young lady. Oh, there's a guy. Oh, and there's my son. So it really struck me even then about 3 years ago. You talk a little bit about the feminization of schools. Explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at when I say that there's fewer standards, there's less discipline, there's a lot of safetyism, like at recess and things like that. And this is what you'd expect from, like, female psychology. So they're more interested in being inclusive than holding people to standards. They're more interested in being safe instead of being adventurous. And as schools have changed in those directions, men just don't feel as at home in those institutions. So it stands to reason that they'd leave them in greater numbers. I don't think there's anything in nature that suggests men can't be elementary teachers, but I do think that there's something in culture that encourages them, or discourages them, I should say, from entering the professions. And it's the culture of these institutions that ends up being very feminine.
So,
and that's why they don't enter.
Right. So then when it comes to the students, why does that matter?
Well, because men, especially young boys, need male role models. They need discipline. They want to be held to standards. And it's kind of a disappointment to see people get away with things and not have discipline. So I think it ends up kind of letting the air out of the balloon for young boys in school. And they're a lot less interested in it. They don't see it as a manly activity, and they end up doing worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, it has profound cultural effects, you know, beyond the walls of the school.
Yeah. Look, I'm worried about not only male teachers, but female teachers, because it's getting, you know, more and more difficult. You have obviously a lot of the wokeness that appears in schools. You have people. We just had a proposition here in my school district that failed. So, you know, I think teachers are worn out, and, you know, they feel like they're getting beat up all the time, maybe even by some people like me on the radio. But, you know, the male teacher issue, that you can't really turn that around realistically, Scott. I mean, there's nothing, unless you offer some amazing incentives to become a teacher, but I don't see that trend's going to reverse itself.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that has happened in some places, we're getting more single-sex schools. There's, for instance, in North Carolina, in Charlotte, North Carolina, next year the Catholic schools are offering single-sex alternatives. One thing that we found is that when you look at single-sex, male-only schools, men will actually want to teach in those schools because they end up having a kind of discipline and hold people to standards and a culture that is more likely to attract men. And the four biggest single-sex schools around the country have staffs that are over 75% male.
Wow.
So it definitely can still happen, but it needs to be a contrived environment these days.
Yeah, yeah. You said schools that infantilize boys do not interest male teachers, right?
Yeah, that's a great line, isn't it? I think I should get sort of a prize for that one.
I like that one, too. Scott, great to have you on. I really appreciate it. It's an important topic.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, we'll see you. So do you remember, like, I was thinking back to my elementary school, and I don't think I had a male teacher in elementary school.
I did not.
I actually had the same teacher for kindergarten and first grade, Mrs. Drummond. She was awesome. Then I don't remember all of them, but I do remember in junior high and then definitely in high school, male teachers.
Yeah, they kicked in middle school and high school, but I did not have one in elementary
school.
Like,
I can't even think of a male that was a teacher in the elementary school. Mm-hmm. This would have been 1970 when I started, you know, in elementary school.
Yeah, the principal, of course, was male.
Right. It was, well, of course. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's not necessarily the case, certainly, anymore. Look, I have, and I don't know what to do about it because all I do here is blab on the radio, but I have some serious, serious questions about, you know, where education is with these young kids, in particular in the aftermath of COVID. Even smaller things like, look, my daughter's in a good school district, right? And she's got great teachers and great support, but even in the teacher conference that we had last week, there's some reading comprehension issues that are evident to these teachers, and they kind of trace it back to COVID. Well, that's in a good school district, right?
I know.
So
imagine.
These kids, and, you know, so my daughter's in a situation in her classroom, if I understand it correctly, they're not behind, right? But they're not ahead right now.
Right.
And then you think about the kids who are behind, and how do you get that? So the implications of the things that we did to these children, it really are. And then you throw in all these other things, and it becomes quite a challenge. You know, I probably need to dig into a little bit more. Some of the methods change and how they teach math, et cetera. And not all the teachers are always comfortable with that. So there's dynamics that change. Mm-hmm. I'll be very curious to see. And, you know, my son's going to be in town here in a few weeks for Thanksgiving. He is definitely going to, you know, go the rest of the year. I think he may have indicated he might try one more year at this school. But it's tough and he's not happy. And, you know, I've been at jobs, only a couple of them in my entire life. One of the reasons I do what I do, Sue, is because I had this real brief stretch in Chicago in 1987. I think I've told you about this. I worked for U.S. Sprint, and I did.
That's right.
I did customer service, which, when you think about it, me doing customer service, that's hilarious.
That's something,
right? But I was living with my aunt and uncle at the time, and there was a girlfriend involved. And what I remember though is I hated the job. Like, despite all the fun I was having in, you know, I was in my 20s, so I was having a pretty good time in the city of Chicago, and I lived real close to the city, so it was a quick 20-minute drive downtown, and had a lot of fun. But I would get up every morning when I had to go to that job, and I just felt sick to my stomach. I'm like, do I really have to? I hated it. I hated it with a passion.
Not good.
And you can't, you know, get up every morning and not look forward. I know some people do it, and there's the grind, but I'm a firm believer in doing something you have a passion for. And let's face it, teachers do that because they're not trying to make all the money in the world because that's not possible. They do it because they have a passion for it.
And what grade does he teach?
He's like seventh grade at
middle school,
yeah,
I think,
middle
is
school.
A real toughie.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that that's what he's experienced. But I'm looking forward to having conversations with him in a few weeks just to see kind of where, you know,
yeah, where
his
he is.
Brain is and what he's thinking. Look, both my kids have challenges. Evan is in the restaurant industry and his girlfriend, mm-hmm. but with raising a child, that's not the easiest business to be in,
mm-mm.
right? So lots of challenges.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.